And you know, Jesus had warned about all this. Jesus had talked about that. He taught about it many times. And Judas sat right at his feet, right at his side, and heard the words of Christ screaming out against that very mindset. He could hear Jesus take a breath between words. As he taught the people, as they were on the mountainside, surrounded by people, Judas sat right under this teaching. In Mark 10:24, when Jesus said, with Judas sitting right there, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." He sat there and heard that. And it bounced right off of him. Matthew 6:19, he heard Jesus say, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Be careful where you lay up your treasure, for there is where your heart will be. He didn't say where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. He said where you heap up your treasure, that is what will consume your heart. You better lay it up in heaven, because if you lay it up in this world, it's going to consume your heart. And Judas heard him say that over and over and over and over, from town to town, from city to city. And he had no idea the stakes he was gambling with when he let it all just slide to the side. Judas wanted what the world had to offer more than what God had to offer. But because he was deceived, he may have even rationalized that this was God's gift for him. God likes me, man. He's going to let me have it all. Now, most commentators believe that Judas sort of got tired of waiting for the kingdom to be established. It wasn't that he was really rebelling against Christ. He didn't want to see him crucified. We saw that in the video clip. Most commentators believe that he just got tired of Jesus just delaying and delaying and delaying. 3 years has gone by, and that covetousness just consumed him, drove him to take matters into his own hands, like we said at the men's retreat. When we stop waiting on God to fulfill God's plans and purpose, and we start taking matters into our own hands in order to lay hold of the things that our heart covets, we get into grave trouble. And Judas got tired of waiting. He thought he'd take matters into his own hands. Most commentators believe that Judas figured he could kind of pressure Christ into seizing the kingdom. If he could betray him to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to the leadership, so that they came to arrest him, he'd already seen him give them the slip before. In fact, Herod tried to send soldiers one time to arrest him, and the Lord just simply began to teach and to speak and to preach, that the soldiers went back to Herod and without him, and Herod's like, "What's going on?" They said, "We never heard a man speak like that before." They came back empty-handed. So he figured if he could get the leadership, the Sanhedrin, to come and force their hand to come and arrest Jesus, Jesus would simply squelch that thing, put it down, and it would force him to go ahead and take the kingdom by force, to establish that kingdom, and then Judas would have what his heart coveted so much. He could take that position of power, the ultimate treasurer in the planet. And so when it backfired, he went ahead, he took matters in his own hands, he betrayed him. Jesus said, "Would you betray me with a kiss?" And things went south from there, and all of a sudden the whole thing fell apart. The apostles ran for their lives. The soldiers came. They arrested Jesus. They began to beat him up, to mock him and spit on him, put a crown of thorns on his head, flogged him, ripped his back wide open until just pools of blood lay around on the ground and his back was shred to ribbons. And he offered no resistance. Judas was waiting, and Jesus offered no resistance. He just took it all. And all of a sudden, the whole dream began to crumble in front of his eyes. And suddenly he realized what a huge, unthinkable mistake he had made. and he didn't know how to undo it. All of a sudden, his hand was the very thing that had caused this glorious kingdom to come unraveled. And right before his eyes, his dream was crumbling into dust. It was vaporizing. And everything that he hoped for and dreamed for and lived for and craved and coveted was suddenly turning to dust and ashes in front of his eyes. And he's like, oh no, what have I done? And the guilt just burned his soul. I betrayed innocent blood. To what profit? Kingdom, what kingdom? He's about to be killed. Position. I went from being the treasurer to being the traitor. The kingdom is gone. The opportunity is gone. And I've only myself to blame. It's by my own hand. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't have the book to look at to see where it all came out. All he knew was that his hand had just created the most monstrous mistake in the history of man. And he couldn't live with himself. The problem was, though, the Bible says that he had remorse, but he didn't have repentance. And there is a world of difference. Judas had remorse. He had deep remorse. He was in the depths of crushing, soul-crushing remorse. Judas was remorseful because he had betrayed innocent blood. He went from being the treasurer to the traitor. Judas was remorseful because his situation had gone from bad to worse, from what he thought was bad to unthinkable. Judas was remorseful because he not only destroyed the chance for the kingdom that he sought, he just wiped out his own hope for any position in it, if it was ever even to come to pass. He had taken his destiny. In his eyes, he had just taken his destiny and ultimately trashed it completely. And he was remorseful for all those things, but you know, Judas never repented of the fact that he was a covetous man. For all of his remorse, he never saw his sin. And he never repented of the fact that it was his greed, it was his selfish ambition that betrayed Christ to those soldiers and ultimately had him hang on that cross. It was his covetousness. And he never saw it. He never repented of that. He never repented of his disbelief in Jesus as the Son of God. Judas thought Jesus was a cool guy. He was going to be the guy that was the key to my destiny. He was going to set me up. He was going to usher in prosperity and good times, and Israel was going to get rid of the Romans, and man, the good times are going to flow. Let the band play. Let the money roll. But he never had faith in Christ. He never saw him for who he was. A lot of churched people, as a part of the Christian culture, think Jesus is great as a tool to get what they want, but they never see him for who he is, the beauty beyond what they can get from him. And Judas never had faith in Christ. Jesus said it himself, John 6:64, from the very beginning, Jesus said, "But there are some of you who do not believe," for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. That's as early as John chapter 6. Later in the ministry, after all the stuff that went by, as he was washing the disciples' feet at the Last Supper, right before the Last Supper, he said this, John 13:10. Jesus said to him, to Peter, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but he's completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean." Judas had church, the most exciting church you could go to, man, feet of Jesus. He had religion, he had church, he had a position in the church. Religious guy. But he was absolutely and utterly lost, and the opportunity he had, he threw it away. Didn't think it was all that much. And you know what? In the midst of that crisis, that mind-bending crisis, all he had to do was what? Go to Jesus. All he had to do was walk up to that cross and kneel at his feet and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, I've messed up. Can you forgive me? And he would have had everything restored. Everything. Would not have lost a thing. All he had to do was go to the cross and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Like we all have done, hopefully. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Even cursed and said, I don't know the man, when they were questioning him as they were about to lead him into the trial. And Jesus looked at him and it broke Peter's heart. I've denied the Lord 3 times. But there was a difference between Judas and Peter. It's like night and day. Peter stumbled, but he had a repentant heart because he loved Jesus more than he loved what he could get from Jesus. Where is our heart? Do we love the Lord? Do we love Christ? Or are we simply interested in what we can get from him? Judas was broken because of the consequences. Peter was broken because of the relationship. That cut Peter in two. I've hurt my Lord, and I'm wounded. I want to be reconciled. I want that love again. I think Peter would have thrown away everything Christ offered him if only he could hear the words, Peter, I love you. I still love you. I forgive you. That's what mattered to Peter. That was the difference. They both sinned. They both denied Christ. They both blew it hugely. But Peter loved Jesus, and Judas loved with the world. So instead of going to Jesus, this is the results. Instead of going to Jesus, Judas went to the priest. I wonder if that's where they got the band name. Jesus, I don't know. Instead of going to Jesus, yeah, you can see Dave right now. Sorry, brother. Instead of going to the Lord, Judas went to the priest. He tried to confess to them. Said, I betrayed innocent blood. What did they care? They said, what's that to us? In their minds, he wasn't innocent. Judas tried religion to get rid of his guilt, and it didn't work. Judas tried returning the money. He tried to fix it. He tried everything his intellect would tell him to do to try to fix what he had done. Judas tried again, still trying to take matters into his own hands. Maybe if I confess to the priests, they'll change. Didn't work. Maybe if I return the money, that'll work. If I return the money, it won't count. It'll be a do-over. And he threw it at him. And it still didn't work. The torment continued. He was still eaten away inside by guilt. And one of the saddest statements, man, he goes out and he hangs himself, took his own life, took matters into his own hands. Maybe if I kill myself, maybe it'll fix things. And one of the saddest statements of Scripture is in verse 25 of this passage we looked at in Acts. It says, Judas by transgression fell so that he might go to his own place, which was hell. The place that Judas had prepared for himself. You know, when a person goes to hell, they go to the place they have prepared for themselves. God is not unjust in anybody he sends to hell. That person has prepared that place for themselves. Judas went to his own place, the place where Judas was the center of Judas's life.